It's called the UFO Briefing Book, A Guide to Congressional Oversight of the UAP Phenomenon. James Lowe is the author, and of course, it's written in a way that it's understandable. And we'll be back and talk more about what is Congress going to learn about UFOs and what will we learn, and final calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. James Lowe with us. His book is called UFO Briefing Book. Where do people get this briefing book, Jim?
You can buy it at pretty much any bookstore, Barnes & Noble online, Amazon online. There's no audio or Kindle version.
What's the reaction been to it?
Well, it just came out on March 27th, but so far, so good, I guess. I'm not as worried. I haven't been paying as much attention to book sales as I have been the number of hits on my website since Congress started getting copies. I sent copies of the book to everyone on the Armed Services Committees
Good
in both
you.
The House and Senate, and on the and to the Committees on Intelligence in the House and Senate. So I sent out about 140, 150 copies there, and then also to selected members of the media, mostly not the kind that you would normally think of, but defense correspondents. And then some people like people that have written articles about UFOs that are decent. And so I've just started, and frankly, I just started upgrading my website to include this. Being a retired non-techie, it's a little hard sometimes, but the mail system seems to work, so they've all got copies.
Well, good, and let's hope that they react to it and listen to you.
I'm hoping so. I'm not trying to sell them that they're all extraterrestrial and they're all like I believe. I'm trying to sell them to seriously look into it and just, frankly, do their job.
Well, you know what? That's all we ask. You know, just tell us the truth. You know, what was Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men said, you can't handle the truth, but we can handle the truth. I'm convinced of that, aren't you?
Yes, I wouldn't have written the book if I wasn't convinced otherwise. But perhaps, you know, they were right at the end of World War II and the beginning of the 50s to keep it secret. But the mass hysteria, you know, rationale they were using was that they would clog too many phone lines if there were fake UFOs that would mask a Soviet invasion. But in 1957, they completed the DEW line, as it's called, early warning system. And so they stopped relying on people calling in or civilian observers. So the reason behind the panic or hysteria excuse disappeared, yet the secrecy continued.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's start by going to first-time caller Scott in Wasilla, Alaska. Hey, Scott, welcome.
Hello. Been trying to call in for years.
Glad you got through. Good.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to discuss something I ran into probably about 4 years ago.
Okay.
The only way I knew to describe it was a UFO. I'm an aircraft mechanic and a pilot. I work remote. I do a shift. Right now, these days, I do 30 days on, 30 off. Then I was doing 3 weeks on, three off. And I was living in Cordova, Alaska, and I lived about 7 miles out of town, so there was no light pollution.
Okay.
It was in March, so it was still getting dark at night. And I gotten home, I was sharing a cabin with an old friend of mine, and I walked outside because there was a bit of commotion, thought maybe the coyotes were coming in, and the northern lights were out. And that particular night, you know, some nights they roll over like waves. It's like you're lying on the bottom and you're watching waves go over you. And so I was standing out there watching the northern lights, and I looked at the mountain range that was in the direction of the town, and I watched a wave roll over, and I saw this huge black cylinder. I mean, it had to be up at about 5,000 feet. And as best I could tell, it was maybe a quarter mile long. And I stood there and watched that for a minute. Then I went and I got my cabin mate and I dragged him outside. And I said, "You've got to tell me that this is real or it's not." And he says, "Yeah, that's real." And so we stood there and we watched it for a bit, and it moved, and it got out to the point where it would have been out over open water, and then it just vanished. I mean, it was just gone.
Poof. What do you think of that?
That's amazing, because it's not only just a UFO report, it's a UFO report from a pilot, a person trained.
Exactly, to see things.
Discriminate between different objects that I made a mistake.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate that being part of the program. And great stories. And you know what? We could keep these lines open for days and weeks, Jim, and we would continue to get UFO stories coming in. People are seeing strange things, aren't they?
They are, and like I say, they're documenting them more, too. It is a rare case that gets documented, but those are the ones that really stand out. If that gentleman had a camera with him, and many people do now, carry them, you know, you've got them in your phone.
If you had to categorize what's the most important aspect of your book, UFO Briefing Book, what would that be?
Probably the analysis that Congress should go through, that I'm using arguments that fit within, you know, the way they do things. And probably the other thing, if I could just add one more, is that I'm worried about our military personnel that see these things and then are treated terribly later. And, you know, we need to be able to, they need to be able to learn or be trained on how to handle these situations. And they're not. They're basically, they're being left alone when these happen. And many get discouraged and quit the military because of it.
Are they being treated like they're nutcases or what?
Some, yes. You've had Terry Lovelace on before.
Yep.
His book, Incident in Devil's Den, is a prime example of the contempt that is shown to people that have seen it. You know, they don't, you know, no one signs up to see these things. They just happen. And, you know, the way Christopher Mellon, who's one of the big, a former defense official, is one of the big proponents of disclosure, talks about his conversations in the Pentagon where every incident is viewed in isolation, where they pick holes in it, but they don't look at a pattern. And that's what I'm hoping we do, is get Congress to look at the patterns. So I've given you three reasons rather than one. Sorry.
Well, and, you know, when we had the Citizens Disclosure Panel years ago, I thought that might be the impetus to get something done, but really nothing happened after that.
Well, the difference between then and now is that the beginning of, you know, that was just the same time as any other time where we're just trying to prove to Congress that UFOs exist. Well, we don't have to prove that anymore. Now the next step is they've got to say, well, they can't get there from here. And that's falling apart. So, you know, I think we're better positioned now. If I could just quickly talk about the beginning of 2020 was the greatest set of revelations from the government ever. By the end of January, the Defense Department was still refusing to turn over to UFO researchers copies of the three videos that had been in the New York Times 3 years before.
Exactly.
Yep. 2 months later, or 3 months later in April, they declassified them just out of the blue. Then in May, they announced the UAP task force exists. Then in June, Marco Rubio gets the Senate Committee on Intelligence to ask her for a report. By August, the Trump administration put David Norquist in charge. He was the number two of the UAP task force. He was the number two Defense Department official. And sometimes the number two is more important than number one because he was in charge of the budgets. You may know his brother is Grover Norquist, the anti-tax guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very rooted in Republican politics, and he was handed, you know, an assignment. Now it's different under the Biden administration. We're just going to have to see where they go.
Let's go to David in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I have one question. You might not want to hear what I'm going to say to you, but I'm highly curious. I believe in God Almighty. Now, why would God in his right mind want to create alien life? He created everything else, sun, the moon, the stars, life itself. Why in his right mind want to create alien life?
Now, that's an interesting question, but alien life is probably life still. And he made it in the vastness of the universe. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
You know, the greater their creation, the greater the God. You know, we don't understand everything. You know, the Pope in 1500 wouldn't understand if an aircraft carrier, you know, drove up, you know, to the Mediterranean Sea. And so there's a lot of things we don't understand in this world and overall. So I think, you know, as the Catholic Church says, you know, the greater the level of creation and more sophisticated, the greater the God.
And it's not evil or sin to believe that there are other ETs or other life forms in this universe. You know that.
I agree 100% on that.
Let's go to John in Spokane, Washington. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Hey, this happened back when I was back in 1970. I was with my friend Lewis, and I was spending the night at his place. We walked down the block to go to the grocery store, and we decided to walk around the block. And across the street, hanging above a pine tree, this pine tree is probably a good 70 feet up, and there was a glowing ball of light, and that was probably another 10 feet up. And as we walked down the block, it kind of followed us, mimicked us. As we turned the corner, it sang across the street and it followed us. And then, as it went down the street again, it went in between two pine trees and shot straight up in the air. And that's the last we saw that glowing ball of light.
It was, wow, the strangest thing I'd ever seen. How big do you think it was, John?
Well, you know, remember those rubber balls you do dodgeball in grade school?
Yeah, they're about 12 inches in circumference, yeah, or something like that.
And then they had those ones that were oversized. I'd probably say it was probably about four or five of those put together. And it was like 70 feet. The pine tree itself was 70 feet up, and it was another 10 feet above that. And it kind of just followed us. And it went in between. Yeah, it just shot straight up in the air. It was the strangest thing I'd ever seen.
Was it bouncing along like a balloon?
No, it just floated across the sky real silently. No noise whatsoever.
James, what are the possibilities that it was a balloon?
Well, it could be, but balloons don't follow people.
They do if the wind blows that way.
Yeah, but it depends on, if it looks like it's one direction, it could be. But it's certainly a mystery.
Could be an orb. What do you think of orbs?
Yeah, I see. That was what I thought I saw, a very large one. But the one story I told about, seeing something that sort of winked in and winked out. I have a lot of experience or friends that have seen orbs. It could quite possibly be that, but you'd have to check things like which way the wind was blowing and things like that to try to eliminate other causes. But it sounds like a pretty interesting experience.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Hello, Joe.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this is a legal question or a legal statement.
Well, you're talking to a lawyer, so go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. The last caller, why did God create these beings? Well, on their own planet, they're doing fine. But they're here, and they're breaking a spiritual law. They're interfering with mankind.
If they are interfering.
and in negative ways. They are criminals, spiritual criminals. And yes, you have disclosure from a particular race that is trying to police its own people because they're criminals. And yes, they do believe in God.
Okay, but you were calling because?
Well, people have this notion that that they're demonic. In a way, we have criminals on our planet. They're doing the same activity, but only in a more advanced way. And they gather people to go along with them. So talking to people with power here on the Earth, no, they don't want people to know that there are extraterrestrial races out there. That's one thing. And the truth is power. The truth sets people free. And, oh, George, you can't handle the truth? Well, they can't handle us with the truth because we would know how to handle it.
Do you believe we're being visited, Joe?
Do I believe we're being visited?
Yeah.
I believe they're walking on the planet in the form of human beings. They call them walk-ins. They are from other planets, and they are born human. But they have memories of their past lives, and some of them are very fresh in their memory, and they have extremely powerful gifts. Do they come out and forward in the world and use their gifts? No, because they're advanced, George.
Are they hybrid people?
That's a different story. I met a hybrid, and he was checking me out, and I didn't give him much information. And there are the types of people being taken over by means like a genetic entrainment, we call it entrainment, a genetic changing people genetically. And I have a friend he was proud that he's changing into a reptilian.
Interesting take. What do you think about the number of different species that there might be, Jim, out there?
Well, if there's one, there's got to be many. Because if there's life elsewhere and they've achieved the level where they can travel or just move to the next dimension. It's got to be more because you can't have just one or two in an entire, universe and maybe universes, and they all happen to be right near us, in a theater drive-in near you. I think there are many, and they all have different agendas. They may have I think they have a common set of protocols they have to follow. Because they all seem to act a certain way. As far as the law applying, it's going to be interesting. Let's say if it's true that, there are other dimensions in our space, our same space, how do our laws apply to the other dimension? How do our laws apply to a visitor from a foreign planet? I don't know. And, we're at step one, and that's step 35 probably. So it's an interesting set of questions, but I'm just not sure at this point.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with James Lowe. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about his UFO briefing book that he sent off to Congress. It's available for you, too. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk a little bit about your diet, junk food, what's it really mean to you, then later on, how to manifest things by just thinking about them. How about that? And welcome back to Coast, our final segment. James Lowe with us, his book, the UFO Briefing Book, that he has sent out to members of Congress. And have any congressional people gotten back to you yet about this, Jim?
No, they just started receiving it last week. And... But I noticed that when I'd look at my tracking data to see when they were getting it, and there's been a spike in my JPLUFO.com website traffic, and it couldn't be for any other reason. So they are paying attention. To what extent, I don't know yet. But the report isn't due out till the end of June, and so I wanted to get it out to them earlier. And so it was quite a task to finish it. And so we'll see.
You know, when people send out a Freedom of Information request and then they get back documents that are all blacked out, do you think the report's going to be like that? I don't think so.
No, because, as citizens, we have to take it. But congressmen don't like seeing blacked out documents. If there are cleared to read them. And the members of these committees should be cleared to see this. If they're not cleared and they're supposed to vote on things that are blacked out, they shouldn't be sending money that direction.
Oh, absolutely true. Let's go back to the calls. Jared in Jacksonville, Florida is with us. Jared, take it away.
Yes, sir. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to call in.
Sure, absolutely.
I want to let y'all know about a experience I had back in 2000. And it was a clear day, summertime. And it was about, I believe it was June of 2000. And there was a glowing, translucent gold ball with a hint of green that came down, probably shot down at about 200 miles an hour, stopped, and then made a 90-degree angle all the way across the horizon. And just before I saw that, I looked at my clock, and it was, 1:15 in the afternoon. And this all happened within about 10 seconds.
Jeez.
And so I looked back down at my clock, and it was 1:45, so 30 minutes had passed. And I was just shocked, and I just didn't know what you guys had to say about that.
What do you think of lost time, Jim? You've heard about that.
Yeah, I've had it. And it just amazes me how you can just have, it's like your life is a film and they've edited out portions. And so when I have it, I'll check for marks on my body. I bought a black light, but I still don't know how to use it. Because some people say that there's fluorescence on your body from when they touch you. But sounds like a potential abduction experience to me.
Well, and he was talking about 90-degree angles again, like you saw.
And you too.
Yep, absolutely.
Amazing. No, you must hear some amazing amounts of evidence. Maybe Congress should just listen to your show.
Yeah, that's a good point. First time caller, Mark in Los Angeles. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's up?
Okay. Your guest, James, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I saw the same thing you did. Now, my question is the moon, and you said it looked like a zipper.
That's a poor way of describing it. It's just
But I understand. But where did you see that?
In Ramona, California, down in San Diego area.
And you've seen a lot of things down in that area, haven't you? Because that's where you are.
Yes.
Is there anything specific going on down there militarily?
Where I live, I live on a hill surrounded by mountains in the San Vicente Valley, and I'm over the coastal range between me and the coast is Miramar Naval or Marine Air Station.
Uh-huh.
And Camp Pendleton is also, relatively close to me, and so they're always flying flights out to either Yuma or up to, my guess is up to, 29 Palms area. And so I see a lot of military helicopters going back and forth.
This is obviously happening all around the planet. So why aren't other countries revealing information?
Well, some are. Peru has been. Belgium did. Some are, and I think they're all waiting for us.
They're going to follow our lead?
I think so.
Interesting. Randy in Ashland, Oregon's with us now. Randy, hello there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
So I saw up close and personal 2005, middle of the day, 11 o'clock in the morning, just finished a graduation, walking across a football field, and a brown sphere dropped down out of nowhere, probably 30 feet in diameter, a couple hundred feet off the ground.
Whoa.
Floated silently from the north end of the field to the south end of the field took 25, 30 seconds. And when it left, it was gone. I mean, it was supersonic in less than a second without a sound. There were no seams, no windows, no doors, no visible means of propulsion. And what amazes me about these things is they're silent. They don't interact with the atmosphere. And evidently, they don't interact with gravity the way we think of it, because how can you go from no miles an hour to 5,000 miles an hour in a second? I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
You can echo that also, James. Your sightings were pretty silent too, weren't they?
Yes, they were all silent. And no, that is a classic move. And no one can tell me that the military is doing that, and that the first thing they want to look at is a graduation at a football field.
Good point. Bill in Los Angeles. Hello, Bill. Go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. I just wanted to ask if James's book deals with President Truman's 1952 televised news comments that he and the Joint Chiefs were actively discussing the recent dozens of flying saucers photographed over D.C., and chased by our Sabre jets on two occasions.
Might we get documents about that stuff, James?
Yes, there's quite a lot. I don't really talk about it too much in this book, but the one I have coming out in the summer is specifically aimed at what President Truman did and what the CIA did with his referral that didn't match the public pronouncements that President Truman made. And so that book, the tentative title of it is A Threat to the Body Politic, which is a quote out of the Robertson panel that UFOs aren't a threat. The people that see them are a threat to the body politic, and the body politic is government.
Back in 1956, the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomena, NICAP, one of the first organizations to try to get the government to tell us everything, requested a hearing, and they were turned down, weren't they?
Yes, they were flat turned down. And NICAP probably stands out as the group over time that has made the most efforts to do to try to get disclosure out there. In fact, I use a book they wrote in 1964 to compare with the Nimitz and the Roosevelt incidents, and another one that the Coast Guard had in 2013 off of Puerto Rico that there's a video circulating of that. That looks just like one of the two Roosevelt incidents.
Let's go to our international line now. Carl's with us in Canada. Hello, Carl.
Hello, Al Lindsay was just on. I missed it on Art Bell, their archives. He wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. And one of his books,
right,
too, there he said there's going to be a big delusion in the future. The Beast, the Antichrist, with some alien connection. And I was wondering, his fourth book he wrote about the it's got the devil in the title there. I just took a quick look at it. Wonder if that was it some sort of alien connection too in the book.
That would be Terry Lovelace's book talks about the devil's area. James?
Yeah, Terry talks about mysterious disappearances in Devil's Den Park in Arkansas. He has a second book on that. I'm not that familiar with those issues. I am familiar with Canadians, but I'm married to one.
Where'd she come from?
Vancouver.
That's a great area. It sure is.
Beautiful. When it's not raining, it's beautiful.
And you're living in Southern California now, right?
Yes, sir.
And hopefully soon we will get some reaction to your book, and I hope it jars some people. What do you think? Possible?
I think there's more chance now than there ever has been, and that's what inspired me to write it, is I just wanted to put something forward in the language that they're used to hearing and let them figure it out for themselves, because they have a wealth of data they can get to if they can get to it.
Well, let's hope that they do. James, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it. The name of the book, folks, UFO Briefing Book. If you're into UFOs, it's a great book to have, and it's not very big. It's a great, easy read, and he's got some great information on that for us. Got another set of great shows for you for the rest of the week, of course. And also, for those of you who need a little laugh, here's something that we use every once in a while when people are a little tense. Sit back and enjoy. This is something that was passed on to me many, many years ago, and we've just kept it. So sit back and, well, have a little chuckle.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black purse. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. We got another woman she's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella. She's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She beat him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up, and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black purse is still, oh, pieces of okay, he's up on the car. The little woman's just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. the little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him as he's driving off. Oh, I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
Well, if that doesn't make you laugh, nothing will. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.